5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is Stephen English.
Hello.
Comedian and the producer of this podcast. Welcome, Backseaters. It is good to hear from you. And by hearing from you, I mean you are just listening to me. Stephen, we're in the minivan and you have way too high of expectations that an overhead light would actually
come on. I would thought the light
on.
Would work, yeah.
Those lights do not work. We
That's
are
my
recording
fault.
Live from our studio, and our studio being Old Rusty, a 2009 Dodge Caravan with 200,000 miles on it.
Oh, nine? That's a good year
and
for wine.
Every I've noticed when I turn it on, every dash light that can come on comes on. The check engine,
yeah.
The tire pressure,
the get a new car light,
the oil. That's what it should be. It should just be like the LOL emoji.
Yeah, it's just a poop emoji on top of a car. Yeah,
but we're here and we're recording, and you know, I actually I don't want to say I got a new car. Because what it is my dad got a new car,
right.
And I bought his old car.
Okay.
But I also kind of drove that car a lot.
Okay.
He sold it to me for more than Kelley Blue Book.
Well, naturally.
Because my dad's a hustler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he thinks all his money's going to run out. He's fine. But I don't think I'm going to get rid of Old Rusty anytime soon. As you can see, it does a good job holding some bikes.
It would take you about a year and a half to clean it out,
There's two bikes and a thing of golf clubs in here. It doesn't... It's not that bad.
There's a family of raccoons in the back.
Well, I try and give back to my community. What do you expect them just to run homeless?
That's true.
Better place to live than the studio.
Super woke.
Don't Make Me Come Back There. Today we have a fantastic episode. We have my friend, comedian Bone Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
Bone Hampton is an award-winning comedian. He's been seen on The View, Comics Unleashed. He's been seen on America's Got Talent, Dry Bar Comedy. You can follow him on Twitter at Bone Hampton, BoneHampton. I don't know that I have to spell Bone Hampton, but I did. And that's the same on his Instagram handle. We get into it. We talk a little comedy. We talk a little parenting. We talk life, his life as a single dad. And you know, dynamics of raising your kid with an ex and getting into it. This was recorded from the Comedy Condo, the Zanies Comedy Condo in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
So that is another Comedy Condo on the list. I think that's our third or fourth.
Nashville.
And, but one of the nicer ones out of Nashville. Yeah, I was out of Nashville. I was out on the Human Being Tour,
mm-hmm.
the one at John B. Christ, John Barack Christ. That's true. That is his middle name. it was insane. It was a crazy weekend of shows. But I was out there doing the Nashville Comedy Festival.
Okay.
And we did the Ryman, and I did a couple shows at Zany's, and it was great. We stayed in the Carter Cash Room. Does any of this mean anything to you?
Yes.
Where are you at on your country music knowledge?
I know George Strait.
Okay.
George Jones.
Okay.
George Clinton. George Washington.
Funk legend.
Yeah, George Washington. I know all the Georges.
My country music attachment is all childhood based. So I grew up, you know, with my rednecky dad and rednecky family. Even though people people don't understand, like, the Northwest is really a lot like California. Once that you get outside of the cities,
right.
It's the Midwest, it's the South.
Right.
That's what it looks like. And my dad grew up in, like, rural coastal Oregon. And so I grew up listening to Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings and, like, Willie Nelson. Like, that's all the we got as late into it as Randy Travis. That was, like, new country.
Cherokee, Indian Outlaw?
Yeah. So being in the Ryman was, like, it was, like, an ethereal experience. It was super cool. And being a part of the festival is great. But now it's snapped back to reality right now because...
There goes gravity.
Oops, exactly. Well, you know I love Eminem.
You know,
that's
you
a
do.
Given.
I know you do.
I love Eminem.
Yeah.
But we're outside the La Jolla Comedy Store, which we've recorded here before.
Yeah.
This weekend I'm featuring for Taylor Tomlinson. This is Easter weekend, and it's going all right.
Yeah, it's best going. Friend of the pod. Taylor Tomlinson.
She's number one.
She's number
Zoltan's
one.
Zoltan's number two.
Zoltan's second best. Yeah.
I think they are. And I think even though they might have done the same amount of episodes, but Taylor's more famous, so we got to...
Yeah, exactly.
We got to call her...
I mean...
I think John's done the most, right? John's done three, I think.
Two and a half. Well, two and a third, because he did one, a shared one.
That's
with
the same as
actually
Zoltan.
Two and a quarter, and Dalton did one and a half, and then... But Taylor did just two.
Two straight up.
Straight up. Now tell me.
Do you really want to have Taylor on the pod forever?
Oh, I do.
This is what we do when I am tired from two comedy sets tonight and you had too many LaCroix at a Padres
game. I've been at a Padres game the entire day, yeah.
And the LaCroix, hard. Have I told you the story about the last Padres game that I went to where Mal and I got booed?
Yes.
We told this on the pod?
Yeah. No.
Humiliating.
No, but I heard this in person.
Listen, I played baseball. Yeah. I can catch a ball. 12 years. 12 years I played baseball.
Okay. I mean, we're all going to take your word for it because we weren't there.
Mal and I lost it in the sun. It was a day game in San Diego. We didn't have gloves to block the thing. We lost it in the sun.
Sure.
And we go from, I got it, to we hide.
Yeah.
We go down. Don't hit me shoulders. And then it lands like two seats away from us.
Right.
And then there's a beat, like a dramatic beat. And boo. I'm wearing a Mariners jersey.
Yeah.
Come on, Mariners fans.
And you're like, right.
I mean, I understand this, but nobody cares. I lost it in the sun. I couldn't see it in the sun. It's a pathetic excuse. I wish I would have had my munchie mug to block out the sun, honestly. Yes. The only way I'm going to be able to keep sneaking those in on you is if they don't make sense anymore.
Right, yeah.
Like if I would have brought my munchie mug into Petco Park.
Get really esoteric, yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's the thing. I didn't plan on doing that one until the last second.
You're
guys,
very
let
good.
Me tell
You're
you about Munchie Mug.
You're good. You're good at what you do.
Munchie Mug is a wonderful sponsor.
It is.
Of Don't Make Me Come Back.
Also our only sponsor.
Well, for now. it is the best spill-proof mug on the market. It
sure
comes
enough.
In all kinds of different... colors. It mm-hmm. is made here in the States. It's mm-hmm. easy to wash. It's mm-hmm. going to make your life messy. It's going to, or less messy. Way less messy.
Way less.
You go to munchiemug.com. That is mm-hmm. M-U-N-C-H-I-E mug.com. Munchiemug.com. You're going to get free shipping already.
Sure enough.
And then when you get in there and there's that opportunity to type in a promo code.
Yeah.
And you type in Don't Make Me.
What you going to get?
You're going to get 25% off your order.
What?
25% off your order plus free shipping.
Shoot.
I mean, they're pretty much free at that point.
Yeah. Buy four and then you get one free. Is that how it works?
Yes.
I don't know
exactly.
how math works.
Can I read you? We got a new review today. We love when you guys email us. We love you when you send us reviews. We are so, so grateful. There's one that's today. 5 stars. Thank you. This is from Mrs. GGGGGGG.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, I know her. Yeah.
Yeah. The only Dustin I've heard of that isn't creepy, but instead is genuinely funny and relatable. Thank you. Are Dustin's creepy?
Yes.
What creepy Dustin do you know?
I knew a Dustin when I was a very little kid in Cerritos, California.
What was he? Was he the pee kid that Sinbad talks about?
Yeah, well, he was a smelly kid. Yeah, he was a smelly kid. He was definitely a rat tail kid. Definitely had a rat tail.
Yeah, you know, a few kids had a rat. That sounds more like a Dusty.
Oh, he was a Dusty, yeah. No,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's a different
Not
thing.
A Dustin. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, no, he was a Dusty. He definitely was a Dusty.
A Dustin and a Dusty are different people.
Well, that's true.
Like
that's
a
very
Steven
true.
Or a Stevie or a Steve or a...
Right.
They're different things altogether.
Stefan.
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 Totally different things altogether.
I hate Stefans.
Please continue to give us ratings and reviews on iTunes or wherever you may listen to podcasts. Also, follow us on all our social media.
Yeah.
Also, another great thing you can do is send us an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Yeah. Let us know things you want us to talk about, guest suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, all those kind of things. Also, as we are in the next couple of months, I'm going to be announcing a few fall tour headlining dates, of which we're very excited about. But in the meantime, if you'd like to come hear me tell jokes of where I'm headlining, if you are in the Sacramento area, come out to Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. That's in downtown Sacramento, Old Sac, May 24th through 26th.
Nice.
Go to Laughs Unlimited Sacramento. I don't know the name of the website. If you type in Laughs Unlimited, you're going to find it.
Yeah.
Guys, we love you. Thanks for being listeners. Enjoy this episode with Bone Hampton.
See you.
This is one of those, I was actually excited to talk to you because this happens in comedy. I feel like maybe you feel the same way where you will like hang out with a comic and we've hung out probably 5-10 times, something like that.
At least.
And then when you sit and you think about it and someone goes, so what do you know about Bone's life? And I go, oh, nothing. And I think it's because comics are so connected through comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
That we have enough to talk about our whole life. I mean, you sat down here and within 30 seconds we were talking about a bit.
Boom.
And I don't, is that what you think it is? It's just the comedy connection so strong that sometimes we just don't even ask about the other things?
You know, I think part of it is also because we know what the grind of comedy is.
Yeah.
And when you see somebody that you know, because comedy is like a big fraternity.
Yeah.
You know, I started at Steve Harvey's Comedy Club in Dallas.
Oh, now, I didn't know that.
That's one of the first things he said. He said, comics is a big fraternity.
Mm.
And if you in it, you understand it. And when you see your fraternity comedy brother, it's just a connection of like, yeah, you done been in some rooms where you didn't know how you was gonna get home. You done stayed in some condos that you was like, I shouldn't be here long. And it just is already there because you're like, oh yeah, you done been through what I've been through. So you just feel a certain amount of freedom to just start talking that you don't with somebody that's a 9-to-5, a corporate dude. It's like, I don't think you understand my world, so let me think about what I'm gonna say to you that's gonna connect. Where I see, I'm like, oh man, it's D Nick, what's up, man?
As you walk into a comedy condo. I think that's true. As soon as comics tip over like a certain level, like when I meet a comic and then you kind of realize they're like what Marin calls a lifer. You're like, oh, you're in it.
Yes.
We may work different circuits or do different type rooms and different acts, but we're the same.
We are the same. Yes. We're different genres.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? You do classic rock? Oh, okay. Yeah I'm hip hop, but you know what? We both going to be down at the Bridgestone.
Exactly. So, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this interview. You agreed to do it yesterday, and I was like, I don't know much about Bone's life. And I felt bad for a second, but then I thought, Bone, A, doesn't care, and B, Bone doesn't know much about my life.
Don't know nothing about Dustin. Don't know. I think he live in San Diego. Yeah, live in San Diego.
And I think you live in Nashville.
Yeah. I live in Nashville.
But I don't know. Well, let's start that. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you started comedy there,
comedy in Fort Worth, Dallas, you know.
Okay, so what is home life like for you growing up? What's mom, dad, sister, sibling?
Oh,
what's the Hampton home?
You know, Fort Worth is the Bible Belt. So we was a Bible-based family, church-based. You know, my mama was the musician of the church.
Oh, really?
My daddy was the head deacon. My uncle was the preacher. My sister played the keyboard. My brother played the drums. I sang in the choir, in the junior choir. We had them little
everybody
half
was
robes.
On stage.
Everybody singing, you know, all them good old fashioned soon and very soon. If I had a hammer, all of that, man. So we was born and raised in Fort Worth, little old Christian based.
Were you the like, how many times a week did you go to church between choir practice and the services?
Now I was the oldest, so they didn't really believe in babysitters since I was the oldest. You know how the first kid is, like, can't nobody watch my baby like me, so my baby gonna always be with me. Then after my brother and sister, they're like, y'all can watch each other at the house.
I was gonna say, you turned into the babysitter.
I turned into the babysitter. And so I would probably, you know, on average, at least 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your guys' boys and girls club. That's your rec center. That's where you hang out.
Exactly.
Yeah. You guys are there all the time. And so you're the oldest and you have a younger brother, sister?
I got a younger brother, younger sister.
Okay.
There's 3 of us.
What are they doing?
My brother has a photography, videography business.
Oh, cool.
And when he's not doing that, he's my road manager, tour manager.
Oh, there you go.
Manager, lawyer, publicist. He is my everything, and my sister's in music. So,
everybody's in entertainment.
Everybody's in entertainment.
Okay, are you close to your siblings? I'm always, I'm always interested in what adult siblings are like. Do they stay close?
Yeah. I'm 5 years older than my sister, and 10 years older than my brother.
But your brother works for you.
But my brother works for me.
Yeah.
So what's cool about this situation? Now, me and my sister, we're not that close because I can't handle it. Like, when I was, like, in high school, she was in junior high, she came and asked me something. She wrote me a little note. She was like, hey, I need to talk to you about boys. I was like, no, you don't. No, you don't need to talk to me about no boys. You out your mind. No, no. She was like, wait, no, like, for real. I'm like, for real, no, no. And so she quickly learned, oh, okay, so you're not going to be that cool, understanding, brother. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. And so, I mean, I'm the dude that my mama got 3 kids, and I still say my mama virgin. So I'm a certain kind of way when it comes to females that are blood related.
Yeah,
to
like
me.
I don't want to know anything.
So I like, yeah, we ain't gonna be close. And then,
and listen, then, sister, you have a mom and a dad.
Yes.
And friends.
Yes.
This ain't my role.
They all signed up to be that. I'm like, nah. Like, the thing that has me terrified now, even as an adult, my mom passed in 2015. So my dad has to be close to my sister because he has to be in her business. She's single. And the thing that terrifies me is like, man, when my daddy die, if my sister don't get remarried, I'm that dude. I'm like, I got to be the dude in her life. I'm like, I don't want to be. No, Lord, you know that don't work for
me. And so you're calling your dad, make sure he's exercising, eating healthy.
Goodness.
Dad, I need you to live.
Like a year ago, he was like on his deathbed. And I was looking at the doctor like, hey, man, you let me know how many transfusions and transplants y'all got to do.
Does he need a kidney? I'll give him my kidney.
Man, I got some friends that will stop some dudes on the street and be like, look, you might not be an organ donor, but you an organ donor now.
Meanwhile, you're setting her up on dates.
Oh, Dustin, it just kills my spirit just to think about having to. I need to talk to you, Bone, about this complicated man. No. This is supposed to be a fun podcast, Dustin.
Yeah, no, we get into it. We get into it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm having fun. That's hilarious. So you and your brother are close.
So me and my brother close. I was living out in L.A. And we wasn't close. Like,
well, what's the? So I don't know your timeline. So you grow up and you start comedy in Dallas, and then you move to L.A.
So here we go. I grow up. I go play college football at the University of North Texas.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As soon as I graduate,
see, I don't know anything about you. You're a college athlete. I didn't know any. You a running back?
Oh no, I was a defensive tackle, man.
Well, there you go, man.
That's why I was 4th string.
hey, that's much further than I made it.
Yeah, I was just there for the scholarship. That's all.
That's not bad.
I was making sure I didn't get in the game. Anytime the coach tapped me, I'm like, hey, coach, I lost my helmet. How you keep losing your helmet? Because I know what the score is.
Yeah.
And when we losing by 50, you start putting people in that ain't supposed to be in there.
And those guys hit hard.
Oh, Dustin. This joker hit me. We was playing Texas A&M. This joker hit me so hard one time. I was like, can I cry on a college football field and still maintain my... I was like, you probably need to hit your head on the sideline.
Yeah.
So they'll think you crying because of that. Versus number 72 that just bust you all upside.
Yes, some A&M kid. Okay. Yeah.
Man, Dustin, you done brought back all horrible memories, man. We're supposed to be better than this.
I want to hear all of them.
So I was playing football at North Texas, and they filmed the movie Necessary Roughness.
Oh,
with Sinbad
wow.
on
yeah,
campus.
Of course. I know that.
Had a small part in that. Met Sinbad.
I love Sinbad so
Sinbad
much.
Sinbad was like, hey, dude, you funny. I got this. I got some specials with a deal with ABC to do sketch comedy. I want you to come on and do this character we have been doing. He said, I got five. I want you on the fourth one. Then he called me after the second one. He's like, hey, man, they canceled it, so don't worry about it. Hey, man, but you're funny. Then Jamie Foxx came on campus and had he used to do this character on In Living Color called Wanda, the ugly
yeah,
chick.
I know.
That's
yeah.
like my ultimate favorite character.
Yeah.
So I would go, it came on Sunday nights. I would go to the rec on Mondays and everybody would sit around like, hey man, Bone finna do Wanda. Bone do the Wanda recap. So I was doing it. So when Jamie came on campus, he had a contest at his concert, winner gets $500. I did it, won.
It was a comedy contest or
the
character?
Wanda, the
oh,
Wanda
do
contest.
The Wanda, yeah.
Yeah. And so I did it, won. Man, and then after I graduated, I was like, you know what, man? I should probably at least give this a try. And if I give it a try and it works, I keep doing it. So
yeah.
I went, did open mic at Steve Harvey's Comedy Club. And every time a comic come through, a headliner, I would ask him, hey, man, I don't want a lot of time. Just give me one nugget of what you would give me.
Mm-hmm.
And after the fifth comic said, you need to move to LA. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, everybody says this, why? And they said, you are a clean black male that's funny. They don't have those in LA.
Mm.
So if you, and this is when Def Jam was like huge.
Right.
And they was like, hey man, Def Jam did their thing, but you so different.
Yeah.
That if you, and then, packed up my little Chevy S10, 1994. Okay. It was leaking oil and the air conditioner didn't work. And I drove out to L.A. and 5 minutes turned to 10 minutes, turned to 15 minutes,
right.
turned to movies with Sandra Bullock and Bradley Cooper and appearances on The View. And that's how we got there.
I love that your comedy story within the first couple of years has little prophecies from Sinbad and Jamie Foxx and Steve Harvey. I mean,
yes.
I mean, those three comics you name are more famous than any comic I've ever interacted with. And I live in Southern California and work in LA twice a week. That's happened. I haven't opened for any of those guys.
Oh man!
And you got Jamie Foxx telling you funny.
I mean,
in '94, no less.
And the cool thing about Steve Harvey is the first time I went on stage, my first open mic, I was so prepared and I had a good set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my mind I had a great set, but I'm like, it's open mic, you had a good set.
Right.
And the next time I went up, I got so arrogant and cocky.
Mm-hmm.
I bombed so bad they booed me off the stage.
Where was this at?
This is at Steve Harvey's
Comedy
Club.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
And because he was hosting Showtime at the Apollo at this
right,
point.
Right, right.
So his audiences was like, Steve, let us boo.
Yeah.
So they didn't like what I was saying, and they booed. And as I was walking off the stage trying to pretend like this didn't affect me, Steve grabbed my arm, and he said, hey, man, don't worry about them. You gonna be all right.
Mm.
And I believe it really changed my whole perspective moving forward. Cause you know, once you get booed, if your skin ain't tough,
yeah.
that might be the end of the road.
Yeah.
But to have Steve stop me,
mm-hmm.
make sure before I walked off that stage, he put encouraging words. And then Steve proceeded to curse them out like they stole something. The other comics in the back was like, hey man, what's your relationship with Steve? Like, why is he cussing them out in the name of you? I was like, I don't know, man. And it was his curse out to the audience was, y'all are so tainted and so dumb. The fact that he was clean and giving y'all clean, clever jokes, y'all couldn't laugh at it because y'all so used to hearing people cuss and talk about this and that, and y'all missing it. And I was like, wow. So even at that point when Steve was really cussing,
yeah,
he still was like,
this
but
is before
I can
the
appreciate
daytime show.
This before the this is for Family Feud right here. This is where this is when the suits were still on. Down to his cash.
I love this, that whole, I mean, genre too. I mean, that, I mean, I grew up obsessed over In Living Color, you know. It was and so Jamie Foxx and Sinbad. I always like to ask, when people talk about who the greatest comedian is of all time, that's subjective. But I always say, yes, if you needed to pick a room, if you need to pick a comedian who could crush in any room, no matter the circumstances, clean, dirty, white, black, young, old, family, whatever, it's Sinbad. Yes. And it's not even close.
Exactly.
If you need someone to crush, Sinbad's the guy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, man.
So you move out to LA, and then when does the family start? Do you start when you have kids later, or when is that?
Yeah,
all?
Much later.
Okay.
Much later. And I am a big proponent, like, I have a 9-year-old son.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big proponent of, if you can, everybody can't, but if you can, have your kids later in life. Mm. Because I have a level of patience. Now, my son's mother, my ex-wife, she's younger. And her patience, like when he was 2 or 3, her patience was younger. And even when my son couldn't talk, he was looking at me like, Daddy, why is this okay with me and you? But then when mommy come around, I kind of like my son had this thing. When he would be riding in the car seat in the back, I was talking to Thor Ramsey one day.
Yeah.
We were on the phone. He was like 6, 8 months old. And I was talking to Thor, and while I was talking, my son is in the back. I was like, man, what? Are you okay back there? He just looked like, yeah. I was like, Thor, hold on, man. Hey, man, you good? Yeah. All right, Thor. Blah, 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 blah. Thor, let me call you back, man. I hung up. My son didn't say a word. So I was like, all right, I guess he's fine. I called Thor back. All right, man. I was like, Thor, my son don't want me to be on the phone when we riding in the car together. Because we was, you know, this is when the visitation and custody situation all changed, because me and my wife was getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have him all the time.
Right.
And at that point, my son was letting me know, you don't have me all the time.
Yeah, you got to
talk
to me.
So when we together, it's me and you, not me, you, and whoever you're talking to on the phone.
Yeah, I love that.
And so then whenever the three of us was together and me and Herbert started talking, she's like, Seattle, will you just be quiet? I was like, he tried to let us know he want to be part of this conversation.
You're like, this isn't very subtle, son. You need to be a little more nuanced.
He looking at me like, are you, old loud mouth, Texas born daddy, you trying to tell me to be subtle? I'm like, you know what? I can't get mad at you.
So you get the one kiddo.
Got one son, 9-year-old son.
What's his name?
His name is Seattle, and he gonna kill me because he does not like me saying his name on air.
Oh, okay.
We went on, we did the.
We can just be, you can. We can edit around it and just say we're talking about where I'm from.
He like,
that's where I'm from. So,
cause he like beep out my name. We did the K-Love cruise some years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he went with me, and I said his name. And what happened was, we would walk and people would be yelling like, "Hi, Seattle!" And he would turn around and he didn't know who they was.
Oh, that's funny.
So he told me, he's like, "Daddy, stop saying my name." And I was like, "Why?" He's like, "I don't like people knowing my name and I don't know who they are."
Well, you can just let them know we don't get that many listeners. So he's like, "This won't be. This isn't. Don't worry. This isn't Joe Rogan."
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You're going to be okay, Seattle. Don't sweat that
hilarious.
Too much. So what's he like? What's the boy
man,
like?
Man, he is definitely the mini-me. He thinks like me. He has a funny sense of humor. The only thing that we don't really have in common is that he's quite good looking, so I can't really help him out.
I was going to say, does he look like you?
He looks like me, but for, you know, just a much, much better version of me. And because his mom, she looks like you.
Okay. Because she wears glasses, or she wears...
Because she wears no pigmentation.
Oh, she hails from Caucasia.
Yes, she does. So he's a light-skinned version of me.
Oh, okay.
And so he goes through some, you know, we taking him through a balance of life. You know, I try to be a good black dad and teach him how to be a good young black boy and mm-hmm. deal with society and life. And this is how you navigate to be the best you can be. And then one time he hit me. He's like, Daddy, you know I'm only half black, so I only got to listen to half of what you say. I'm like, hey.
That's not how that works.
I'm like, hey, this is what you got to do when the police come. Don't say nothing. Keep your mouth closed. Put your hands on. He's like, Daddy, I can talk to the police. I was like, you know what? You might can. And tell me how that feels. That's a world your daddy don't really know about. Tell me how that happens. You just have a conversation.
You know what? You drive, son. You know what?
Yes. So he's real cool, man. We have a great dialogue. Again, this is where I say about being older. I'm not really that concerned about trying to make sure I maintain my respect and you respect me. It's right. Like I'm old enough to know how to maintain respect without being this big dog matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm mm-hmm. kind of more of a like a Tony Dungy type of coach versus a Bob Knight.
Right.
You know, Bob Knight got to throw chairs to show kids. I'm the coach here. I throw this chair through a window. Tony Dungy like, I'm the coach. If you don't like it, guess where you going to be tomorrow?
Right, exactly.
Working and sacking groceries. And ain't nothing wrong with sacking groceries, but you could have been out here catching balls.
There's definitely, it's the, because we had our kids young, so it, I didn't, but that's because you weren't in my life to give me this advice.
Plus, Dustin, you was good looking. See, when you ain't good looking, you got to wait till finally everybody else that went through all the good looking Dustins.
This is the best podcast ever. Just bring on guests just to compliment me. But you're choosing one or the other. I feel like you're choosing if to have your kids young is to be really physically able.
Yes, because
I've always I can play with the kids, no problem. Well, and even now it's getting harder as I get a little bit older. But like. But yeah, definitely. I mean, we were 22, 23 when we had kids. Well, we got married, I was 19. So, there was definitely those early years where you just, it's like, my brain isn't fully developed yet. I'm not done yet. I'm not grown yet. And there were mistakes. I mean, we didn't traumatize the kids or anything, but I do, there's an emotional, you know, what you have is you just get older, is perspective about children in general. And you go, I think when you're younger and when the kid is young, it's easy to feel like, oh, they're being disobedient right now. That means they're a bad kid. Or I need to fix this right now. Yes. They need to show me respect right now. We need to nip this in the butt. Yes. And when you're older, you're like, no, kids are just kids. Like you do have to help them. You have to discipline them and you have to guide and teach them. But you also, you have a big enough perspective that you're not like, oh, this is the end of the world.
I mean, I don't know how you were when you were a kid, but as an adult, I'm thinking all I wanted to do was be heard as a kid. I wasn't trying to talk back to you, mama. I just wanted to be heard.
Yeah.
So when you tell me I can't do something, can I explain to you why it makes sense to me? And then you can tell me why that's not a good idea, and then I'll be better. But instead, it was like, no, you can't do that. But mama, I want to pop. Mama, why you hit me in the mouth? Because you talking back when I tell you to do something. You just, and I'm just like, I just want to be heard.
Yeah.
And so as I'm older, when I tell my son something, he knows how to respectfully tell me, hey, Daddy, this is what I was trying to tell you. And I can hear him and be like, hey, you know what? I hear what you was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this point, I needed you to do dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I learned this with Sherry's nephews. Sherry got nephews that I've been knowing since they were
Sherry Shepherd, yeah.
Since they were 8, 9. And she had sisters and the fathers wasn't around. And she said, will you help me with my nephews? They need a man to talk to them. And one of them was just, DeAndre, was just a mess. He was getting in trouble all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, will you talk to him? And so I hung out with him. And DeAndre wanted to run in a parking lot at a mall in L.A. And I said, DeAndre, you can't run because do you see all these cars? You cannot tell when these cars are coming out and they won't see you and they can hit you. That's why you can't run.
Because
I used to be a school teacher, so I understand about teaching. And it was like a month later, we was in a parking lot. He was like, Bone, can I run? And I was like, I was looking, getting ready to say no. He said, ain't no cars around. And I looked, and that parking lot was empty.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? you can run. And I was like, that's the point.
Yeah, he learned.
Teach you why the things you're doing are not good. Because I want my son to be able to think on his own when he get in pressure situations and not think, well, what would mommy want me to do? What would daddy want me? Hey, man, process this.
Mm-hmm.
They want me to go with them to rob a liquor store. We going to get caught, and I'm going to go to jail, and then somebody going to try to you know what? I'm not going with them. That's what I want him to be able to process.
Yeah, you really, that's the, and your son's getting there, right? He's 9. My boy's 11.
Okay.
Of just increasing independence and thought, but also understanding that they are children still.
Yes.
You know, it's what you're saying, though, that's like the struggle with me and my boy because, you know, I can't get mad that my son likes to talk. Like, I talk professionally. This is literally my job. But there's this struggle of I want you to feel like you're being heard, but sometimes you are just talking back, and that's not okay.
Yes.
Because sometimes I tell you to take out a trash, and there's nothing to say. There's no words that need to be said.
Nothing you got.
You just, it doesn't, take out the trash. There's no discussion here. But, you know, can I? No. I told you to take out the, but to handle that, it's hard because it feels... It feels like, and now we don't hit our kids, but like the, like it feels like they just like almost like, you know, when like your friend would just like in high school or whatever would just come like just slap you on the head or something like that.
Yes.
It just like a little anger. It didn't hurt, but it made me mad. That's what that little talk back said. It was like, I know what you just did there.
Yes.
You took a little shot.
Yes.
And now I have to breathe.
Yes.
So that I don't get in trouble.
Yes.
And I don't get in trouble with your mom because she's like, why are you yelling at him? I was like, you didn't see what he said. You didn't. You are walking into a scenario.
You sound like the football player that got the flag. Ref, you didn't see what he did. You didn't see. I know I slapped him upside the head. I know I'm not supposed to do that. But you didn't see what
happened
did.
Before this. Oh. That's honestly, we could use a ref in the home. Or like we need a replay.
Okay,
get back here. What happened right before this?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And I always try to take a moment and process like, okay, make sure, because you know he's smart. His conversation is good.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, man, I need you to understand this. When I tell you to do something, that is not a discussion.
No.
If you need to tell me something about it, do it first.
Yeah.
Then come back.
Yeah, ask me the question while you're bagging up the trash.
Bag up that trash.
At least be moving towards it.
Put that trash up. And then come back and say, Daddy, can I talk to you about something? Yeah absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you was asking me, you was telling me to take out the trash. And what I wanted to tell you is that my ankle is broke. And I couldn't walk down
the
stairs.
Right. You can take out the trash
so
on crutches.
I was like, you know what? I appreciate you taking the trash out with the broken ankle.
How did I not know your ankle was broke?
I mean, now we can go to the hospital.
Yeah.
For just your ankle. Because see, had you talked, we be going to the hospital for your ankle and your throat. So, see how that works?
You're right, though. As a kid, that you just want to be heard. You just want to have your side of the story. You know, you just want to, even if you just want people to see things from your perspective, you know. But what you realize as an adult is a lot of the time that adult does see it from your perspective. It just, your perspective doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So my son has a stepfather. His mom is remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a good dude. He's a really good dude. He does a lot for my son that he doesn't have to do. I'm from the place of, unless you are my son's mother or father, you really don't owe him anything. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do, that's all gravy, right? And so he's really good. And so my son, I try to.
That's great that you think that, by the way, too, because that would be hard.
Oh, no. He 9. So we done had a whole lot of years.
Yeah.
If we did this interview in 2013, you'd be like, cut, a bone. You okay, man?
We can't air any of this.
None of this. And so, let's just talk about that for a minute. One of the things he did that I really admire him about, he let me work it out. Because initially, I was horrible to him. I mean, straight horrible, and dared him to buck up to me. Like, please try to tell me that my horribleness is unacceptable. Give me a reason to choke you out. Please give me a reason to choke you out. And he was just like, I'm cool. I'm going to sit over here.
Yeah.
I'm like, at some point, I'm going to ask him, like, who was counseling you? Because I think I need them dudes.
Yeah, you get a good pastor.
They were good to let you, hey, man, just chill out. Let this man have this time of not being with his son as much as he wants to, and that you represent somebody that is. Because I'm like, I mean, that's really what it was. Right. And I told his mom, I was like, look, it's another dude spending more time with my son than me. I don't know how you think I'm going to be good with that. Mm. She's like, well, he's a good man. I don't care what
I'm a good man.
I'm a good man.
I'm his dad.
Woo, Dustin, you speaking my word. And that was the best thing he did, was like not try to fight me on that. Just like, man, I'm going to let you have this. And hopefully you a man of God, I'm a man of God, and that God gonna work it out.
Yeah.
And he did. And now, so my son will try to tell me something that he did. He'd be like, you know, and Andy did this. I say, what did you do? He looking at me like, when you start taking his side? I'm like, I know he legit, so tell me what you did first. And he like, I didn't do nothing. Yes, you did. How did you get from A to B? Because you telling me the E and F part about it. So how did A go to B? And it was like one night he was mad. Andy wouldn't let him go say goodnight to his mom. He's like, Andy wouldn't let me say goodnight. I was like, what do you mean he wouldn't let you say goodnight?
Right.
Because I was trying to say goodnight. Where were you? Well, I was in the bed. Why didn't you say goodnight before you went to bed?
Yep.
Because I didn't think about it. So Andy told you to go to bed. Yes, it was your bedtime. Yes, and then you got up and tried to leave the room. Yes, so you was being disobedient because I wanted to tell mommy goodnight.
No, you were trying to get out of bed.
You was trying to get out of bed. Yeah. You forget, you still stay with me. If it ain't saying goodnight to mommy, it's can I get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Like, I know your mom.
I got to go to the bathroom again. Why didn't you go to the bathroom when you were brushing your teeth? You were in the bathroom.
You were in the bathroom.
That really encourages me, though, because it just makes me feel good that on the inside that, you know, because that kid's best chance, Seattle's best chance, is the three of you being a team.
Yes.
And him seeing this as a unified front.
Yes.
And it sounds like it took time to get there.
But
it takes a while to build a team.
Man, I mean, it's like you got to work through what you just feeling like this is unjust.
Yeah,
this is unjust. I've done what I was supposed to do. Are you telling me I'm gonna see my son out of 30 days, 3 nights and 4 days? No.
Yeah.
And God is like, you gonna figure out how to be the best dad you can be on those 3 nights and 4 days. And he's like, and I will supply the surplus that you need. I will give you the men in your life. I would give you the single moms in your life. So when it's really hard, you can talk to them with your emotions before you talk to your son's mama. Yeah. So, hello, single mama. I need to know why she blah. Okay, can you calm down first? But nah, I ain't gonna calm down. She took a picture with her and that man with my son trying to act like they a family. Everybody can tell he ain't black, so that mean that ain't his son. So, bone, calm down.
Yeah.
And by the time
you're gonna get less than 3 days and four nights.
It's
if
about
you get
to be 3 days a year. See my son and be like, who is this?
Yeah,
that's your son. That's what he looked like a year later.
And he's going to be being called dad soon if you don't cool that. Oh, man.
Call me Bone.
Yeah.
What's up, Bone? I'm like, whoa,
no,
whoa.
We're
whoa,
done.
Whoa.
We're out of here. Does he live here in Nashville too then? Are you guys
so
all
they live in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, wow.
So check this out, Dustin. I live in Nashville. Well, let me give it all to you
real quick
and fast. So I was living in L.A. She was living in Atlanta. She came, moved to L.A. We got married, started a family. And so, didn't work out. She moved.
How long were you guys married?
We was married about 2 years.
Oh, it was quick.
Yeah. And she moved back to Atlanta. And I moved from L.A. to Atlanta to be the father that I needed to be. And so, 3 years ago, they moved to Wichita. Her husband got a new job at a church up in Wichita.
Okay.
And so, I'm like, I have moved from L.A. to Atlanta, Nashville to be in a car drive for my son, and now y'all finna move to Wichita, Kansas? That was the whole point of me not moving from LA so I wouldn't be a plane ride.
Right.
And now I'm back to a plane ride.
Oh, man.
But, you know, God is like, and do I need to talk to you about Job? I'm like, you know what? I don't know if you ever looked at God and said, will you stop playing the Job card, God?
It could get worse, yeah.
But, yeah, he done played the Job card a couple of times. I mean, I'm like,
so do you fly him out or you go to him? Or
depending on how long the break is. Like spring break, summer, I'll go get him and bring him back.
Okay.
But. If it's just
so
like,
do you do longer stays sometimes than the 3-day, 4-night? That...
So Wichita got this weird thing where at least once a month they got a day off. So I have a 3-day weekend or a 4-day weekend once a month.
Where you fly to him and just hang out in Wichita?
So I go to Wichita.
How many times you been to that Wichita Zoo or whatever they got there? What have they even got in Wichita? There's not. I've been to Wichita. It's not a lot to do.
We went.
You doing
to
guest
the,
sets at the Looney Bin?
Yeah, I did guests. Get spotted the Looney Bin. I'm like, you know, I see why y'all call it the Looney Bin. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
So I'll fly to Wichita, and if it's a long enough weekend, then me and him will drive down to Texas where my family is.
Oh, I see.
And that's like a 5-6 hour one-way drive.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
And so since there's really nothing in Wichita, he would rather be in the car, 12 hours round trip to go to Texas for a day and see our family, than just stay the whole time. I'm like, man, do you want to do this drive?
Yeah.
He's like, I want to go to Texas.
Great. I'm just like, wants to leave Wichita.
Man, let's go. I'd be glad when you old enough to help me with this drive, though.
Does he have any stepbrothers, stepsisters?
He got two half-brothers.
Oh, okay.
Two little half-brothers, and they the coolest dudes in the world.
Yeah.
This is what I had to learn about our situation. My son would FaceTime me while playing with his little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, hey, man, I see you want to play with your little brother. Go ahead, play with him. Like, yeah. I'm good. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And he was like, no, Daddy, I want to play with him while talking to you.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? You're doing everything you can to create what is your family.
Yes.
And for me, I'm like, you my son, that's it.
Yeah,
I extract you out of this situation. Yeah. It's me and you.
Who's this kid? I don't care about this kid.
I mean, yeah, I'm like, and he was like, but they are my brothers, and this is my mom, and you are my dad. So I'm trying to create my world, and I was like, okay, you got to step up to another level as well. And so with his brothers, it was easy because I always try to see life through my son's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the biggest thing that I would give as a parenting advice for anybody that got kids younger than me, younger than my kids, is if you can see life through your child's eyes, it makes things a whole lot different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when my son was like 2 or 3, he was in the walker thing, and my brother, who's bigger than me, like physically bigger than me, he had about 4 or 5 of his buddies over for a party.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was in the walker, and everybody was in the room, and he just started crying. And my dad, old school, we don't cry in this house. The boys don't cry. And I was like, Daddy, ease up. He crying because you got to see what he see. He see a bunch of kneecaps and a bunch of shins of 6'2", 6'3", 250, 60-pound men.
Mm.
He think he in a jungle right now. He is in a forest looking at trees, and he's like, I need help. So that's the only thing he know to do. If I cry, my daddy will come. And my dad is like, I wouldn't have never thought of that. I'm like, you got to see life through his eyes.
Yeah.
So when I picked him up, it wasn't so much about me picking him up. It was about now see faces. Now I can talk to people.
Right.
So with him and his brothers, I'm like, you got to see life through his eyes. Those are his brothers.
Mm.
And he wants you to love his brothers like he loves his brothers.
Mm.
And so when I see him, it's not a like, well, you know, you somebody else's kid and blah, blah. It's like, you're my son's brothers. And so therefore, there's a certain position that y'all will hold with me because you're my son's brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so much to have to. And again, I put this at being older. Because if I was 26, I don't know. I'm like, I barely can see life through my own eyes.
I ain't got time
to be looking through yours.
I'm crying at parties, too.
Exactly.
I think that's there's really a lot of wisdom in that. you know, like I think about it in like my son is 11 and my daughter, my second or my middle child, Gloria, she's 9.
Okay.
So she's your boy's age. And I think about it like in regards to their friends. You know, they're that age now where their friends are the only thing that matters.
Oh, yeah.
There's just nothing. And yes. We remember that. Yes. We remember our childhood. It's that empathetic understanding of your child can go in the same way that your son's like, no, Dad, these are my brothers.
Yeah.
And with my kids, like, I'm just like, I don't, your friends, whatever. Like, I don't care about your friends. I don't dislike your friends. No. Some of them I dislike. Yeah. But that's their whole world. Yeah. Those are the most important social relationships to them.
Yeah.
And so I have to remember, I have to see that through their eyes. So when Gloria, so her, you know, she's a fourth grade girl and the cattiness and the gossip has started already. And I was like, is this, she's 9. We haven't even gotten to middle school yet. And this is just going to get way worse. You know, she did that and she did that. And there's the power. It's like they have like ESPN power rankings. Who's on top every day at the playground. And I was like, this is going to be this way. But I have to not diminish this and understand, you know, that this is their world. And yeah, when my son asks if a friend can go on vacation with us, it's not him trying to insult the family.
Yeah.
It's just saying these are my best friends. Yeah. And this is the age, and I need to be better about not just diluting that and being like, I don't care about your friends, you know, which is what I feel a lot of the time.
Exactly. Because we know, I mean, as adults, we know who our real friends are. Yeah. We know who we good with.
I have no desire to make new friends. I know who I'm close with.
Exactly.
I'm close with most of my comic friends on a comic level. Yeah. And then I have maybe 3 to 4 important relationships that aren't comics.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
And that number's only going to go down when they die.
Yes.
The number won't get bigger. It'll never be. There's no new friends coming in.
No.
I'm 34. No.
There you go.
There's no new friends coming.
It's like your wife is your parent as you are to your kids and saying, you know what? You got some friends. They can't come to our house. Yeah. And as you get older, you're like, you know what? My wife probably knows better than the 23-year-old me who I thought was good friends.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, that ain't really your friend. Yeah. Like, we went to high school together.
Come on. We grew up.
And so we look at his mom and tell me, she's like, he got some friends. He got one in particular I really don't like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And we'll do a great tag team because since I don't know him, like, hey, man, tell me about your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll start talking. I was like, tell me what they like, what they don't like. Tell me why you like being around them.
Yes.
Tell me. And it's just interesting to hear because I'm like, I don't know him. Dude. So I'm really just taking information. Mm-hmm. And if you say something with a red flag, I hit up your mom and be like, hey, he just told me that Ben be doing blah, blah, blah.
Helping your friends, not just pick friends, but helping your kids evaluate what is a good friend is like the best thing you can do. Because we do that particularly with Gloria and some with Joel too, our oldest, where we'll say like, if she did this and she did this, and we just go, that's not a friend.
Yes.
That's not. You don't spend time with that person if they're gonna hurt you or make fun of you. Not like, well, we all tease each other, you know, like, well, I'm gonna make fun of your shoes or whatever. We all tease each other.
Yeah.
But the person who gossips behind you, spreads rumors, is mean to you, they're teasing and helping them, not saying you can and can't be friends with this person, because if you say they can't be friends with them, that's their new best friend.
Yes.
But to almost like to build them a grid of saying, this is what a good friend is.
Yes.
They make you feel good about yourself when you're with them.
Yes.
You know, they build up your self-esteem. You laugh. Yes. You have a good time. You have a good time without bringing other people down. You don't get in trouble with them. This is a good friend.
Yes. I always try to tell Seattle, hey, man, don't be friends with people that take joy out of your pain.
Mm.
If they enjoy your shortcomings, that ain't how you really want to get down with them. Because at some point, they're going to really want you to mess up so they can be happy.
Yeah.
And you just kind of look at me like, I'm like, was that a little bit too high school lingo?
Yeah.
Bring that. And it's good because one day we were playing Monopoly with some friends, and he was learning Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't realize that once he pay out somebody that had a bunch of houses and hotels, mm-hmm. that if he landed on that again, he had to pay the same amount.
Right.
And he had paid it all out. I had to loan him some money to pay it. And then he landed on it again. And it was like, you got to pay the same amount. And the look on his face was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. We all started laughing. Mm-hmm. And I was in trouble for 2 weeks. Because he was like, hey, man, you laughed at my pain.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it was the way you look. He was like, no, don't try to justify it. I was like, you are me talking to me right now. And
that's not good for a kid. That's just good for anyone to hear. Like, you can make that same thing, that same stream of thought is why you don't read the comments. Because these are people...
Yeah.
We just want to bring you down and tell you, and you're like, listen, I got my own brain to be negative about myself.
I got my own inner self.
To be down on me.
I mean,
I don't need my dad to do it. I don't need a friend to do it. I don't need a wife. I don't need some anonymous person behind some.
Do not need that avatar egg to tell me you need to go back to substitute teaching.
Dang, man.
Where did that come from?
Well, that's it, man. We hit time. Thank you so much for doing this.
Dustin, thank you, man. You're the man, Bo. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.